Hey guys, welcome back to Talk Tennis Tea, and today we're going to be talking about Roland Garros so far. As you guys know, sadly, we're coming to the end of Roland Garros, and it is finals weekend. We've just seen an amazing women's final where Simona Halep won in three sets. She finally got her fairy tale ending at a Grand Slam. But before that, we are just going to take a look back at the past couple of weeks and basically talk about some of the matches that happened before. So grab your cuppers and we'll get right into this tea. So firstly, the women's draw. That was quite interesting. And as you guys know from when I did my draw reaction podcast a couple of weeks at the beginning of the tournament, I was really looking forward to this women's draw. And it did live up to expectations. It was a great tournament, I think, for them. And we saw some real standout matches, some amazing play, and some young girls come up and rise up through those ranks, which was really amazing to see. But I guess we got to start with the shadiness as always. So from watching one of the men's, I was actually watching one of the men's matches, and John McEnroe was commentating that, and he picked up on something that I think we should address, and something that I've wanted to talk about for a while now, which was Dominic and Kiki's relationship and how they started dating about last year this time, and how at this point Kiki dropped in the rankings, which was kind of funny to see how it wasn't just us shady tennis Twitter fans that noticed this too. Someone of such a caliber like John McEnroe, who's commentating, noticed it as well, and it was just kind of like everyone blames Kiki for Dominic's slump, I guess we can say, but no one goes back and blames Dominic for her slump. So I think we just got to be a bit equal on that situation, because it is kind of both of their faults that they both slumped, but maybe it's not. Maybe they just didn't be able to play that hard. But that was just something funny that I thought happened, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, I'll put it in, because we always talk about it, but no one actually does and says anything about it. And for someone to actually mention it without being shady, but John McEnroe is shady. So yeah, and that kind of just happened. Even we saw that happen this time round in the Roland Garros. Kiki lost to Petkovic in the first round, which was kind of sad, because that was one of the matches that I was like looking forward to watching, because I think Kiki could have won that match, to be honest with you guys, but I guess Petkovic had the better of her. And I'm not a Kiki fan, but I just want to see her doing well and not seeing her put a guy first, in other words. Anyway, back to the main thing. There was a lot of heartbreak I felt in the women's draw. People like Kerber, Caroline Garcia, Garbina Muguruza, Delaina Ostapenko, they all got out. And it was kind of hard, especially in the last ones, but Delaina Ostapenko, I didn't expect her to lose in the first round, especially so early in such a match. It was especially so early in the tournament, being the defending champion, I thought she would come in guns a-blazing, really be a tough contender, but obviously not. So that was quite difficult to see, and I don't really know her game very well, but I was just kind of shocked and surprised that she lost in the first round from what I've been seeing online of how she was doing. And then the other three, Kerber, Garcia, and Muguruza, they were my top contenders, and they all made it very much into the close finals. But Simona Halep, once again our champion, she was just amazing the entire tournament, so it makes sense that they couldn't get past her. But I was just a bit surprised, and I thought they'd be a bit stronger on that front. And then we move on to the American girls, who have really, really shown some amazing talent. Sloane, Madison, Serena coming back. It was just an amazing tournament for those girls. We also had Bethany Maddox-Sands coming back as well. I spoke about that in my draw reaction, saying that it was good to see her coming back, and she made it quite good. She made it into the second round, I think, and then I think she lost it going into a third. But that was really good to see. So yeah, Serena is back. Sadly, we didn't get the match against Maria, but due to the pectoral muscle injury, but I can't wait for the Wimbledon tournament to see if they'll get a chance to redo that. I don't think Serena needs a seeding to be safe, to be honest with you. She showed that she doesn't need it, and everyone else just has to put up with it, because yeah, a seeding would be great so that some of the other players don't have to deal with her. But then again, you know, she'll deal with what she's got, and she has to deal with the process like everyone else, which is fair enough. And then Madison and Sloane played an amazing final. It was a really, I honestly thought she was going to do it in two, but Simona once again she was just so good, and she finally got her in the ending that she wanted, which was really amazing. Madison, I have to say, was a standout for me. She just really, really delivered. And some of the American girls say that, oh, the clay isn't their thing, but I don't believe that. I think on the grass, they're going to be really strong contenders as well, because they usually are, and I wouldn't be surprised if we see Madison and Sloane being up there again in that last find the final four, to be honest with you guys, because they just haven't played amazingly. So I hope they get some rest to all the girls and they come back fighting and strong, and hopefully Wimbledon is the same match and caliber to such an amazing Roland Garros for the women. To close up, how do I feel about the final? Did it meet all my expectations? I thought it was pretty good. I watched the first two sets before I went to sleep because it was like 3 a.m. over here, so it was a really good final. I thought I was rooting for Sloane, but I was so happy for Simona, to be honest. She finally got her Grand Slam after such a terrible ending last year, and it was real sad to see that, you know, after Australian Open when she got sick and all that, and it was just real horrible for her. So I'm happy that she finally got one, and congratulations to her team. Darren Cahill is an amazing coach, and I feel like that's a good dynamic for them, and just happy that she won. So moving on to the men's draw, the men's final is actually this evening here in New Zealand, but obviously in Paris and over in Europe it'll be in the morning or afternoonish. So looking forward to that one. Dominic Thiem versus Nadal, going to be a shocker. I think this clay season they are 1-1. Monte Carlo went to Nadal, and then Madrid went to Dominic. So it's going to be a tough one for them both. So I'm just excited to see who comes out of that. Definitely think it's going to be 5-setters. So I'm prepared to nap and definitely stay up for that one, because that's going to be such a good match. But looking back on the other parts of the tournament, we have to, obviously there's always, I feel like there's never a tournament without next gen drama or someone bringing up the next gen, and I feel like the next gen did not deliver as much as I wanted them to this Grand Slam. There are some of them, like Sasha Zverev, who did amazingly, finally getting his second week in a Grand Slam, but some of the other guys, the younger boys like Dennis and Stefanos, really didn't deliver after they had such an amazing lead up into the French Open, which was kind of sad and kind of bumming because they both lost in the second round. But I guess that just shows the caliber of all the other guys that were around them and they had to play. Like Stefanos had to play Dominic Thiem in the second round, and that was the match that I said if Stefanos won that one, it could go, Dominic would be, I feel like, could be devastated, and Stefanos could have a deep run, and if Dominic won, it would shut everything down, and then Dominic would have a deep run. So it kind of did that. I think that match really did define the way the tournament went in some ways. But Dennis also broke my heart. He had to play Maximilian Mota, the German boy, who was amazing again, who nearly got a set off Nadal, to be honest with you. So that was quite good. So it just shows how the next gen weren't, like, even though they had an amazing tournament or tournaments leading up to, they just didn't bring it. I feel like they were just run out, I guess you could say. They were just a bit tired when they got to Roland Garros, and that's not their fault. Like, they did amazingly. I'm still very proud of them, and Stefanos and Dennis are both my boys. I love them to bits, but I was just a bit devastated because I really wanted them to have a good run because of how they did in the other tournaments leading up to it. But I guess that's how we roll, and that's what happened in the end. So, but the real drama was Fognini commenting about the Next Gen initiative, and that's something that, if you guys haven't seen my Twitter, I posted about it, and I did a little poll to see what everyone else thinks about it. And some people say it's bad, and some people say it's good, but I just think it's a bit of pettiness from Fognini's side, and it wasn't really his place to talk about it. If someone really had a problem with Dennis playing on the main Philippe Chatrier, I think he played one of his matches on Philippe Chatrier, and a Grand Slam champion like Garbina Muguruza was sent to Susan Longling or Court 1 or something like that, and he was kind of like, why is it that these young boys get to be up at the front playing on the biggest matches when our Grand Slam champion in the women's is on Court 1? Like, it's just about demand and what people want to see, and it has come back to that gender inequality and how men do bring the more attraction. And I'm not saying that Garbina does not attract the same audience as Dennis, but Dennis has been
gaining more popularity and gaining more attention. So I do understand why they'd put him on a bigger court. Would it be appropriate to put him on Philippe Chatrier? No, I found that a bit odd, but you know, it makes people him more accessible, and they're trying to gain more attention to the next gen, because in a world of Roger Federer's and Nadal's, Stan Wawrinka's, Novak Djokovic, Andy Murray's, it's so hard for the next gen boys to get attention and stuff. Little things like that will gain them attention. I feel like people will be forced to watch them, and people will be forced to get to know them, and that's why the next gen initiative is there, and that's why I think it's a good thing. And I feel like this is a podcast in itself, to be honest, talking about the whole next gen initiative, but I feel like it's a good thing. And I do feel like Fognini was being a little bit petty, because he probably doesn't get that same attention, or people aren't looking to go to his matches for that reason. And he played a next gen star. He played Elias Yuma, the Swedish, one of the Swedish next gen players. And I don't know, it's not about the attitude. I feel like he feels that they're getting too hyped up, and that is a fair point. Sometimes I do feel like it's a bit over the top, and some of them are being left out. But then it's also like they're bringing attention to people who are at the bottom. And if boys like Kokkinakis, Kyrgios, Edmund, Jack Sock, all those types of, if they all got attention like these next gen boys did, so many other people will know them. Like the amount of conversations I have with people that talk about tennis, but they stick to the big four or the big five, or they just bring up little people's names or country or people in their country's names. It's like you don't know, there's so many other players, and I feel like they're bringing attention to other people that are just not known. So it's a good thing, in my opinion. Fognini is right in some ways and is wrong, but I think he's just being petty about the whole situation because he doesn't get enough attention. Let's just be honest. Anyway, moving on from that, I feel like I should do a whole nother podcast about this whole conversation, because it's something important, and bringing it brought up at Roland Garros is something that I feel like, oh, I didn't actually think people had a problem with that. I thought everyone was just good. So I was kind of blindsided, like it was actually a problem for people. So if you want to see that, you know, tweet me, comment in Instagram, all that kind of good stuff, or even leave a comment on this podcast, and then I will get that done for you guys. But moving on to something that was absolutely incredible, and I think was the highlight of Roland Garros for me, was Diego Schwartzman versus Kevin Anderson. That match was absolutely ridiculous. Like, I think it was the first match of the day when it started. It was started at, so it's like 9 o'clock my time, 11 o'clock, 11 a.m. Paris time, and I was watching it, got to two sets in, and I was like, oh, Diego's not going to do this. He was losing. It was 6-1, 6-2 kind of score lines in the first two sets. I was like, nah, he's not going to come back. Then the man comes back in a 5-set spectacular match to win it. Like, poor Kevin Anderson, because he thought he was just going to have an easy 3-setter. And even the commentators were like, oh, Diego's not in it, there's no way he can win this, blah 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 blah. Like, I had ruled Diego out, and when I woke up the next morning and I saw that Diego had won the match, I was ecstatic, because Diego was one of my favorite players, but also I was very shocked to see that he came back, and that was insane. So the highlight of Roland Garros for me, including the whole men's draw, the women's draw, everything, that had to be that match, because I have never seen something like the way Diego, I can tell you, I watched the first two sets, and Diego, I did not believe. I was with everyone else, I thought Anderson in three. I legitimately did not believe he could come back, but Diego has that fighting power, and he just brought everything, he put everything on the line, and he played amazingly. And then he had to play, I think 2 days later, playing Nadal, and he took a set off Nadal and was leading before the rain break. He is honestly insane, and I wish he'd gotten a better run, but he had to play Nadal, so let's be honest, no one's getting past Nadal. So yeah, another fairy tale story of this Roland Garros was Marco Cincinnato from Italy. Again, my pronunciation is probably absolutely butchered, but he was a fairy tale story. Like, I had no idea who he was at the beginning of this tournament. Didn't even know what he, like, I just had rumors about him match fixing and betting and all that kind of stuff from people on tennis Twitter, because you all are so shady. And I just heard a lot about him in the negative light, and I didn't actually watch any of his matches, which I kind of feel bad for, but I watched a lot of press things where he was just so grateful and just so lively, and I saw a lot of things on Instagram about some of the Italian players cheering him on and all that stuff, and it was just like this whole fairy tale for Italy, and it was just heartbreaking. And I was just like, wow, this guy is really doing well. Like, how good is he? And to win against Djokovic, but that's another thing that I would get to, Djokovic. But to win against Djokovic and to play some fantastic matches the way he did, I have to give him a round of applause because that was really great. So congratulations to him. I think he's moved up significantly in the rankings from that, but that's quite amazing, to be honest with you. It was such a great tournament for him, and I hope he can back it up throughout the rest of the year, and it's not just a Tenny Sandgren situation where he had an amazing run and then he just drops off the face of the earth. So hopefully he can keep going and, you know, actually prove his worth and that he's actually a top 50, maybe top 100, top 70 player wherever he is in the ranking. So that would be really good, and hope to see him doing well the rest of the year. Hopefully no one betting and all that kind of stuff happening, so he just keeps clean and on the right track. But yeah, to Djokovic, he did play Djokovic in the quarterfinals, I think. And that was, if anyone watched that match, please do tell me what you guys thought, because I just saw the aftermath of the match and I was absolutely gobsmacked. I could not believe Djokovic's behaviour. And I feel like people give Djokovic a pass because he's a Grand Slam champion, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I'm just like, some of that stuff was not acceptable. Yelling at ball kids, breaking rackets. Like, people break rackets, but, you know, like, sometimes his behavior is a little bit excessive. And when, before he got injured with the elbow, this was kind of the behavior that we were seeing most of the matches, just mentally breaking down. And, yeah, it was a lot to handle. And I thought it was just not a good display of sportsmanship, not a good display for any young tennis player to see. And I was just kind of ashamed, like, if that was my dad or if that was someone who was representing my brand, I would not be happy, to be honest with you guys. But, you know, I can't really judge because I don't know what it's like to be on that field, to be on that court, and to go through such a, to be playing a bad day. Like, everyone has bad days, but I don't think that was the behavior that he should have been sporting in such a way. And it's just kind of like, people need to stop giving him a pass. And I know people don't give him a pass, but the Djokovic fan, or the fans, his fans, might frequently do. So I'm just like, maybe we need to reassess that, look a bit deeper into what's going on, and be like, this behavior is not okay. You know, the treatment of ball kids is something that I always say is, it's hard, and I've been a volunteer at tournaments, and it's not nice when people are yelling in your face after a bad match. Like, everyone has bad days. You don't know what everyone else is going through. That ball kid might have something like, I've never seen a ball kid cry before, but I would have cried if that was me. I don't know. I was just not impressed with that behavior. And then let's not even talk about his press conference, because that was just a shambles. It was an absolute shambles in itself. Like, how, like, don't do it if you're going to be like that. Like, no. So, yeah, that was my take. But I'm not disregarding his tennis, because the rest of the time throughout the tournament, he just had a bad day. Let's be honest. That was a really horrible day for Djokovic. But the rest of his tennis throughout the tournament was actually somewhat amazing, and I was quite shocked to see that he's really, like, he's, Djokovic is back and he's a real contender, and I thought he was gonna go a long way through, but Cincinnato just beat him. Like, Cincinnato was just better on that day, and Djokovic just broke down. But I was very, very shocked to see all that happening, but I was surprised because I thought he was gonna do good. So I'm kind of upset that he said he's not going to play on the grass, so, because I thought he was going to do really grasses. I feel like Djokovic's strength, so I don't know what's going to happen there, but, you know, wishing him all the best. Hopefully he recovers well and just gets back on track and keeps fighting. Lastly, let's talk about Sasha. I mentioned him earlier, but, oh, so proud of him, and so is everyone else. Like, I remember him getting into the second week, everyone on my timeline on Twitter was just so ecstatic. Like, it was just a great moment for him, and I couldn't be happier for him that he got into a second week of a Grand Slam. He got into the quarterfinals, but sadly he got injured. All those 5-set matches came back to bite him, and it was devastating to see him having to struggle throughout the match against Dominic, but you know what? He played his best throughout the entire tournament, and it couldn't have been, like, it couldn't have been greater. Like, he tried his hardest. But, you know, Sasha is a fighter, and I'm sure he will come back fighting in the grass season and will just wow us away. So hopefully he's more consistent and he just is, it's not a one-hit wonder kind of Grand Slam where he just flops in the next ones. I really hope he does well and he just keeps it going. So, yeah, that was my take on the whole Roland Garros. I think it was 2 weeks of surprises, to be honest. Some of the things I was seeing, I was shocked, I was sad, and it brought up a lot of things that I think need to be discussed, like the Next Gen initiative, people's behaviours, and a lot of players are back and fighting, and it's just going to be a good, like, Wimbledon's going to be good, and I'm looking forward to it. So that was my take. I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope your tea was good. I guess I'll see you in the next one, and enjoy the Rafa Nadal final.